You're listening to SBS News.
For the past 32 years, Human Rights Watch has released a report on the practices of more than 100 countries. A key theme this time is the significant backlash autocratic leaders faced in 2021, with protests against regimes in Myanmar noted in the report. Executive Director of Human Rights Watch, Kenneth Roth, says he does not believe autocracy will become too powerful.
Conventional wisdom is that the autocrats are ascendant, the democrats are in decline. And what we found as we looked back over the last year is that that's too superficial an analysis. That in fact, if you put yourself in the shoes of an autocrat, the challenges are tremendous. You know, life doesn't look so rosy.
Mr. Roth says autocracy can be successfully addressed if democratic leaders rise to the challenges of our age.
And there's a need for visionary leadership of the magnitude required to address the problems of today. There's a need to rise to that occasion. And we admit today's democratic leaders are not doing that. And if they continue to fail, that's going to breed the kind of, you know, despair and disillusionment that will give the autocrats a second chance.
One of those challenges is the treatment of asylum seekers. But the Human Rights Report suggests that Australia's response is anything but visionary and frequently just cruel. Elaine Pearson is the Australian Director at Human Rights Watch.
Well, Australia's treatment of refugees and asylum seekers is causing lasting damage to Australia's global reputation. I mean, thousands of people have been transferred offshore to Papua New Guinea and Nauru. And even today, 8 years later, you still have hundreds of people in detention, in hotels, in immigration detention facilities onshore. And also there are hundreds of people who remain, who are languishing in Nauru and Papua New Guinea.
Ms. Pearson says the design of the system is unfair and destructive.
Simply shunting people from, you know, one country to another, from Papua New Guinea to Nauru, is completely unacceptable. I mean, these are people who have suffered under Australia's cruel, inhumane system of offshore detention.
The experience of one such asylum seeker named Joy Mair bears this out. The 42-year-old plumber fled Bangladesh after his father was murdered and his own life was threatened. He originally spent 10 months on Christmas Island, then was sent to Nauru for 6 months for offshore processing, coming to Melbourne in 2020 for medical treatment. Mr. Mair was granted refugee status during that time, but not given a visa because of Australia's policy that anyone arriving by boat should not be allowed to settle here. He told SBS News of his feelings of hopelessness.
All my life is a room. I have no access to get fresh air, safety and freedom. What I found has been prison. It's been 17, 18 months.
Local refugee advocates have long raised concerns about the treatment of asylum seekers in Australia's immigration system. Their worries have particular urgency at the moment, given the virulence of COVID-19 infections in the general community and confirmation of an outbreak at Villawood Detention Centre. Ian Rentoul from the Refugee Action Coalition says they don't even know if the numbers they have are accurate because the company which runs the facility, Serco, hasn't provided up-to-date information.
From what I've been able to confirm, there are at least 13 or 14 positive cases in three of the compounds in Villawood, but there are certainly information, rumours, if you like, inside Villawood Detention, that there may be up to 68 cases.
Australian Border Force says all detainees inside immigration detention have been offered vaccines and safety is a priority. But Principal Solicitor Sarah Dale from the Refugee Advice and Casework Service says asylum seekers are at risk due to the lack of protection in the facility.
They have no ability to protect themselves. They have no way to isolate. And they are left in these precarious situations in detention centres, which only affects their health and their mental health.
But it isn't just the treatment of asylum seekers that attracted negative attention in the Human Rights Watch report. For the first time, the response to climate change is being included in their assessment. In a speech to the United Nations in 2019, Scott Morrison said Australia was taking real action on climate change and achieving results.
We are successfully balancing our global responsibilities with sensible and practical policies to secure our environmental, and our economic future. Australia's internal, though, and global critics on climate change willingly overlook or perhaps ignore our achievements, as the facts simply don't fit the narrative they wish to project about our contribution.
But the Human Rights Watch report says the Australian government has continued to actively support the expansion of fossil fuel industries at the expense of renewables, approving several new coal mines, including projects with public financing. Fossil fuel companies in Australia, the third largest exporter of fossil fuels globally, benefit from significant tax breaks, with fossil fuel subsidies having increased 48% since the Paris Agreement on climate in 2015. And in October 2021, just days before the climate conference in Glasgow, the Australian government announced it had set a target for net zero carbon emissions by 2050. This did not include a commitment to end fossil fuels, and the government did not set a 2030 target or reveal how it would achieve this target. For Human Rights Watch, the global climate crisis is a human rights crisis, and Australia's record needs urgent attention. Deborah Grawk, SBS News.